Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper, and welcome to this extended interview podcast with director Danny Simmons and star of his new feature-length documentary, Suffer for Good, Seb Zudi. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Danny, can you explain what Suffer for Good is about?
Suffer for Good is a film about Seb Zudi's life and his, you know, 30-year separation from the ring, and we find him inspired by his pupils to get back in the ring and kind of overcome some of these emotional traumas that happened in the 80s. So Seb was on the 1984 Olympic team for Ethiopia. And in 1980, Jimmy Carter and the Western States boycotted, which you'll see in the film, boycotted the Olympics held in Russia. And then in turn, they boycotted our Olympics here. And what most people, and I didn't know this, Ethiopia was aligned with the Soviets at the time. So there were thousands of athletes who never got their chance to compete in the 1984 Olympics, and Seb is one of them. So it's just kind of, overcoming those traumas that we all have had and experienced and saying, you're too old, I think this film is a beautiful testament to the human spirit. Mm-hmm. And Seb is this charming person and character that has the will to endure no matter what. And I'm so lucky that I was able to tell a story and be his friend and be mentored by him through the process.
So how did you guys first meet?
Seb and I were working at Sony Pictures, actually. So I was working a corporate job, and he was training MMA fighters and some boxers along with there was a class at Sony. We have this like Equinox level gym. It's like pretty prestigious, and went in, and within 10 minutes, he was laughing at how unathletic I was. And then I got smacked in the face by him. Like, at a workplace, I was like, this guy, I like this guy. He's laughing. He's hitting me in the face. And I got to say, we right away kind of hit it off. So it was just that first class happened. And then I started kind of training at his gyms. And that's how we went. We met.
Got it. So, Seb, did you enjoy hitting Danny in the face?
Oh, very much. Very happy. He thinks he does assume he's a great athlete, but he's not coordinated at all. And I said, I play baseball. I didn't even know. He said, how hard is boxing? Are you from Cuba? I said, no, I'm not from Cuba. He said that I'm from Cuba because in Cuba, they have a great boxers. No, I'm not from Ethiopia. Tell me your story. And I told him a little bit. And you have a very interesting story. Yeah, we had a plan to do, a documentary with a friend of mine, but he's not able to do it. I'll do it next year. I'll do this. And so Danny said, can I do it? Yeah, sure. And the next day I was teaching MMA fighters, and I gave him the address. He showed up with the camera. Wow, this guy's crazy. He must be. We kept going and ended up the film after a long time. At the same time, we suffered for good.
So Danny, when you first started this film, is it like a big production with a big crew, or was this mainly a labor of love?
Totally a labor of love. I didn't even have a tripod when we began. So for a tripod, I was using a bunch of different stacked things that you would jump on as an athlete to put my camera on. And then I had the interviews we actually used was a lav attached to his cell phone. And so, I mean, we were very much, it was a one-man band. It was just Seb and I and his pupils. And then as I kind of got some materials together and cut some stuff together for like a sizzle reel, I thought that was going to be that was it. And once again, I was working at Sony. So I showed, some executives there, and to my surprise, they're like, this is amazing. Seb's story is incredible. He is inspiring. The color looks good. I was like, what? What do you mean? This is just a little pocket DSLR. But we were able to get some momentum from that. And people like, Arnon Manor and Trevor Ward and these guys who were producers at Sony gave us some hard drives and most importantly, some momentum. So, but yeah, it was a total labor of love. And everyone kind of, the whole village that raised this film kind of grew and grew and grew. And here we are presenting it. But I'm just so grateful that everyone kind of believed in it, because I had no idea how daunting making a feature was, especially a documentary feature.
Wow. So Seb, when this injustice befell you and Russia decided they didn't want to be part of the games, how did you feel in that moment?
Oh, that's very, very sad. I mean, we've been working hard. You know, Olympics, like we waiting 4 years to participate in Olympics. Most of us, we were ready to go to Olympics. And also my dream was my Olympic career then turned to pro when I go to LA. That was my goal. Then when the Russians, they say, we're not going. And really, I mean, we cry. I mean, you know, we have great athlete runners too. I mean, everybody was really sad. And we've been working like very, very hard, 3 times a day. And it wasn't easy. Mm-hmm. And really, somebody just hit you in a, you know, the spear in your heart. That's what I feel. And I couldn't sleep. And that's why I went different direction after that. I was just, I started living with no goal. And my goal is done after that. Yeah, it was very sad.
Because one of the things that comes through from the film is this incredible inner discipline that you have and the effect that it has on people around you. How do you maintain that inner discipline?
Discipline is just one of the, you know, the goal, you know, the passion that we have. When I was a little kid, when I started working out to be in Olympic teams, and they and I work hard, really hard. My passion is I want to be a great athlete. I want to be the best boxers. And I want to present Ethiopia for Olympics. That was my goal, my dream, day and night. And I had so many opportunities to go to different directions. Mm-hmm. But I kept, I avoid that. I just could keep going, pursue my goal. I told for my fighters also at the same time, please, this is your business. If you have a coffee shop, you have to wake up 5:30 in the morning. You have to warm up the machine. You have to be ready. You are going to have a lot of clients coming in. And make sure be ready. That's your business. If you're not running your business, you better quit. You know, you have to suffer. You have to keep going. Otherwise, you're not going to be a good businessman. You're not going to be a good athlete. And that's what the discipline is. The determination was really tough. And I love it. And I, you know, encourage for everyone. Now, it's not only for the sport, the athlete, in social life and all kind of, you know, political game. Anything that you follow, you pursue, you need to have a good discipline.
So, like, is pain your friend or is it your enemy? Because you big put time. Yourself through big a time. Lot of pain.
This is, that's what I learned. And the pain is take you to the better place. And you know, most of us, we don't like to get a pain. We don't like to suffer. And when runners come in, you have to go on a hill. You have to pass that hill. And after you finish that hill, it's going to be downhill. You will have, you know, depressed, relaxing. When the other hills comes up, like roller coaster. So our life's like that. So it's a pain. It's not easy to take it. But after you take it and you'll pass it, you'll be ended up a good place.
So what was the most memorable part of making this film for you? Let's start with Danny.
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the most memorable parts for me was the first day of going into Seb's home and seeing the family dynamic between Matty and Abby and Effie and Seb, and seeing how much they kind of, you know, looked up to their father and then wanted to be part of his story and to kind of follow in those footsteps, but also take their own paths. You know, while Matty, you know, obviously idolizes Seb, he's like, you know, I don't really want to go down this boxing path. I want to be a student athlete and play basketball. And it's sort of, it's cool to see how each one of his sons have taken, you know, the themes of Suffer for Good and the ideology and applied it to their lives without having to have it like jammed down their throats, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to see that. And then also to just watch them, you know, question their father. Like, it was just so organic. That they were going, hey, where are we from? Is this where we're from in Ethiopia? Is it over here? And they're on the globe. And that was all just happening organically. Who taught you how to box? Why do you love it so much? And those things are questions that I think any son wants to talk to their dad. I thought it was kind of brave and very like precocious. It's like, wow, I didn't ask, why do you do, hey, dad, when I was 7, why do you do what you do? Mm-hmm. You know? So that was, I think, for me, my favorite moment. And then obviously, when Seb gets back in the ring, I really thought that was iconic.
For sure. And Seb, your favorite moment?
To be honest, it's a tough moment. It's not a favorite moment, actually. I mean, I've never been on a camera like following up, you know, following to make a movie. And I didn't know how hard it is. And the favorite place that I like is inside the gym. when the camera comes to my house, I get nervous. Mm-hmm. You know, just my wife, she's like, what is that? What is that about? What is it about? You know, she until she sees the fruits and she wasn't happy. So the favorite moment that I see in the gym when I teach people, when I teach fighters, when we win and my prediction come through, and I said, I don't think this guy is going to be good today. You know, those moments, it really makes me really happy. And people also, when you go to the gym, and I get energy when I teach people. When I see that one, sometimes my body's exhausted. When I walk into the gym, I just energize to work more hard, to get, you know, to push people and to get myself in shape. And that's really, I love that one. And I always, sometimes really, I don't look like, but when I walk in the gym, when if you see my inside and outside, it was really exhausting. When I walk into their gym, and different person. And that's really, I remember that. That's really a good moment for me.
So you would definitely say that fighting has helped you deal with the difficulties of your life and all the challenges that you've had to face.
Oh, big time. You know, fighters, we sometimes we get knocked down, we get up back again, you fight. So that's helped me a lot during my life. And I didn't tell for my Danny, when I was a little kid, even after the Olympics, I tried to kill myself in a different way, but I passed through it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's what is the life about? And I said, you know, I work hard, but didn't go well. You know, my dream is not going to happen now. So what is my future now? I don't have any future. Sport is my future, is my hand. Mm-hmm. And I went down in a different direction. So you know what? I lost the fight. I get knocked out one time. So I get up. I continue my fighting boxing, and I get back to the Olympics. Now, why I'm doing this? So I continue my goal, and I ended up here in Los Angeles. And so I'm very happy with that.
Got it. So the film is now out, and it's now being seen by people. So what has given you both the most joy out of this experience?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that during the process of making Suffer for Good, finishing it and seeing it out there, that's the whole story, right? I didn't know how hard this was going to be. And now it's kind of like Seb talks about it towards the end, you know, these are the fruits of my labor, right? Seeing Seb so happy and also just around the world on these television screens and seeing like an unexpected hero that I think everyone is kind of craving right now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the joy. That's like that's what's bringing me just this inner peace. Obviously, you know, I wish I wasn't using a little tripod in the beginning with a, you know, tripod with a box, and I had a bigger, more robust camera system, and I knew what I know now. Sort of the spirit of the film, and it's always filled with love. Whether it's Ben Del Guercio who helped us and David Fish who edited and made this thing happen, it was just It's blissful to see all of so many people in LA for once putting down the bullshit and being real, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what Seb causes. He causes people to be truly authentic and genuine, sorry for the curse, and live their truths.
I mean, again, it's this amazing juxtaposition about how you weren't able to go to the Olympics, and yet you end up living right next door to the Olympics, right next door to the stadium. How did you get beyond that? How did you find the joy in being so close to your dream?
That's very exciting. I couldn't believe, and you know, I ended up in Los Angeles. Always with dreaming to go to Los Angeles to see Hollywood sign and to see the Los Angeles and the Hollywood fame areas, Beverly Hills, and to see all the actors' houses. And we were dreaming day and night and didn't happen. And now, how I ended up in Los Angeles just drive me sometimes, wow, this is unbelievable. And in addition, also, we go inside the arena to the filming. That was almost like cry, just like my tear. And I just always, even now, when I see the Olympics, when people run, you know, when they get the golds, to be honest with you, I cry sometimes because I should go, you know, participate in Olympics. It's not, the spirit's not the same. Seeing in the TV or seeing walking in the stadium, it's not the same. But when I walked in that stadium that day, Danny told me, hey, we got permission to go to film in LA Arena. I was shocked. We were only the one doing that I was walking with the jogging suit. That's the same national team that we're supposed to wear the Adidas Ethiopian logo on it. And I was dreaming and just like, I couldn't believe it. I'm speechless and just no word to explain it. And it's so exciting. And God is good. So I don't know. I ended up there. I couldn't believe it. Yes.
I mean, at this particular point in time, given the fact that we're still in the jaws of the pandemic, people need small stories of hope. And I thought it was fantastic in this respect.
Well, I personally hope that anybody who sees this DSIP story applies the Suffer for Good principles to their life. You know, you're never too, like, I believe in that. You're never too old to follow your dreams, right? This is your time. And whether it's writing, whether it's you want to be a better person and you want to write goals down and love more, I think this film does give us the hope that the world is good, that good things happen. If you ask for something, every once in a while, a Dr. Rick Hodes will be there for you. Another thing that this film gives people is that you can have different beliefs. For instance, Rick Hodes is Jewish, Sam's Christian, and they both believe that God connected them through a miracle and ultimately has brought them back. And I think that just that process in the film was just pretty incredible. So I believe that there are so many, you know, there's so much splintering of thoughts right now, especially in the U.S., right? This film is very cohesive in saying, if we suffer, if we work hard, good things will come. Keep working, head down, put your blinders on, whatever you fear, go there and get it. And I hope that's what people see. And I'm just, I'm blown away that we're here with you, Mark. So thank you.
My pleasure. And Seb, you?
Yes, especially now, like you said, during this pandemic, people don't have any passion to do anything. Mm. And they stay home. They have more a problem with their kids because their kids are desperate to stay in a home. Mm. And they're dealing with the child, the children's, and they're dealing with the wife. And they're passing really hard time. Mm-hmm. And this is the time now. Most we've seen in the U.S. now, the suicide is increased 16%. And in my life, I did pass so many things in my life. And people that they saw the movie, they're telling me, so what a pain that you passed through. It wasn't easy. But mm-hmm. I see bright, and at the end, I see the bright future. I have a good friend of mine. He's a world champion marathonist. And I asked him, I had a problem to run 10 kilometers. We used to run, you know, a lot for the Olympics. And how you guys should run 42 kilometers? I have a problem to finish 10 kilometers. And he says, Seb, the first 20 kilometers, you're running for your life. And from 20 to 35 kilometers, you suffer. And it just like, you feel like somebody gonna kill you, put a gun on behind you or choking you. And to breathe very hard. And that time, just most people give up. Most people, they, you know, just collapse in the road. But they just start walking, some of them. Most of them, they quit in that time. Then after 35 kilometers, he said, your body used to it. You just cruise. And your body's full of salt. You don't have any water more. So you just cruise it. So we not able to suffer that 25 to 35 kilometers, that suffering time. Most of us, we give up. So this pandemic has helped them to pass this kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And the movie, I hope, helps them what I passed through and helps them to pass this kind of situation that we have right now.
It's wonderful. Gentlemen, where can people see your movie?
We'll send you a link tree. I mean, we have it. It's on Vudu, Amazon, iTunes, Apple TV, I mean, Vimeo, even Xbox or PlayStations. Seb, where else? We have...
yeah, they can look my website also, sebboxing.com. They can see my email address and my phone number. If they have any review, any question, they can ask Danny. And you're Danny, your company. And thank you so much for everything that Danny, what you did, Dr. Rick. I appreciated what he helped me to get through. And really, thank you so much for having us today.
Indeed. Thank you, guys. Beautiful, beautiful story. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you,
Mark. Cheers then, guys.
Bye.